then nobody can stop you. Because there are always athletes who has like weaknesses. And when you complete, nobody can touch you.
Yo, Gorillas, welcome to the Athlete Insider Podcast by GoNation. My name is Phil, and today's guest is, again, a special one, a professional freestyle athlete from Germany, the founder of the Flythenix freestyle movement, and an event organizer. Really just an inspiration for the German calisthenics freestyle scene. I'm really happy to have you here and to welcome you, Tan Nguyen from Frankfurt.
Hey, Phil. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you. I'm really looking forward to this interview and to talk to you about the development in the sport that we see right now, but also your story, your history. And to kick off, for the people who don't know you or who want to get to know you better, who are you? How do you describe yourself?
Okay, that's awesome. And thank you for inviting me to this interview. That's really nice what you guys are doing with GoNation. And that was a really dope introduction, by the way. Thank you for that. Feeling happy to be here. Yeah, let's go on.
Nice. So who is Tan?
Who is Tan? Who I am? Yeah, that's a very good question. And I would say I'm me. So like, not a human being. No, just kidding. I'm just an ordinary person who's doing extraordinary things. So I love to influence people. I love to spread positivity. And what I'm actually doing is calisthenics and showing the people what I love doing, what I'm passionate about, and try to bring more joy and more happiness into this world.
Wow, nice. That's good to start off with. People always ask these hard facts. How old are you? Let's start with this one. How old are you?
Yeah, I'm 26 now. So next year I'm turning 27 already. So that's not a lot of people think that I'm that old, but it's really hard to guess the age of an Asian guy, you know. So I experience a lot in my 26 years.
Nice. That's good. So you bring like a lot of experience to this young sports, to this young calisthenics scene, where mostly like for the freestyle athletes that are, they are often like 17 or 19 or like, it's crazy. And so, it's nice to have some experience in this. Where are you born?
Actually, I was born and raised in Germany. Mm-hmm. So I was born in Weinheim. It's like somewhere in the south in Germany. So German than I look like.
Okay. That's nice. And how tall are you?
I'm 177 centimeters. Yeah.
And how heavy are you right now?
Right now, I guess I'm 64, 65 kg. It depends on how much I eat, but I try to bulk again. But for freestyle, I like it more to be light. So you're going to have a better flow.
Yeah. And also your explosive, like muscle ups and one-arm pull-ups, etc. It's crazy because we're nearly the same height. I'm 178, but I'm...
Okay.
80 kilos right now because I'm bulking. And I think it's a huge difference, like weighing, I don't know, 65 kilos and 80.
Exactly.
But I think you see it, you know, like everybody who saw you doing muscle ups or stuff like that, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. Like when also on the rings, I think you did some sets a few days, weeks ago. It's just nice to watch.
Yeah, it's just like when you like 80 kilos, it's like for me, adding up 15 kilos on my shoulders and pulling that much up. So it makes a difference. But you also, it's not like an excuse as well. It's like you have to build up more strength, and with strength coming like muscles and
That's true. It always depends on the goals. That's true.
Exactly.
Where does your family come from? Where are your roots?
Yeah, my roots are from Vietnam. So my parents are born and raised in Vietnam, and they moved to Germany when the Vietnam War just started. So they're actually refugees. So yeah, they're coming to Germany to have a better life. And that's what I'm really thankful for, that they give me the opportunity to live in such a stable and secure country like Germany. Because in Vietnam, it's a very beautiful country. I really love it. But the politics are like, it's another story.
Okay. Wow. But good for them. Good for you that they made the step and they managed to make a living here and stuff like that. Because that's something that I always like really respect when like refugees or like people from foreign countries come to Germany and they have this mentality, this mindset to work hard and to work for a better life. And they have like much more gratitude often for the stuff that we have here than people who just know this and who are born here. And that's great.
Yeah, you should appreciate it, because like you see every like kind of Asian guy or Asian family who's in Germany, they work their ass off, like they're literally just working more than they're living. Yeah. And it should be more balanced, of course, but it's a good opportunity to make a living. And I think in Germany, it's like one of the best countries to do that.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so how did you get in touch with calisthenics? Tell us your calisthenics journey.
Oh, it's a long journey. So I started calisthenics in 2015. Yeah. Before I started calisthenics, it was like a quite hard time. I did like dance professional. I was a professional hip hop dancer in the past. I won like international German championships and stuff like that. But then I had like 3 years, 5 years off doing nothing. Just doing the regular teenage stuff with smoking and drinking and going to parties on the weekends. And I felt like there's something missing in my life, you know? So that's why I just started looking for something what fulfilled me, and was like in the beginning skating. So I went to the skate park, meeting with my friends, having nice sessions. And one day there was like a calisthenics park built right next behind the skate park. And just because I started skating, was like a sport, wow, you need to put the wrist into it and it makes a lot of fun. And then one day there's just this calisthenics park and there was this guy who's doing like muscle ups and then muscle up to handstand and crazy spins. And I was like, what the fuck is he doing? That was really amazing. I couldn't imagine myself to do this because I was really skinny and I feel very weak and I was ashamed with my body. I suffered with acne problems in the past. So that's why I was like, it's nothing for me. But then all my skating friends, they moved from skating to calisthenics because the sport was more attractive, you know? And it was something new in 2015. You should know that. And it was very hard for me in the beginning because I couldn't manage to do one pull-up or something like that. But then once I start, I get like totally addicted to it. And I remember in the year also 2015, this one guy who's doing the crazy muscle, his name is Tim Baholik on Instagram. The guy who's doing the muscle up hands, straight by handstand and stuff like that. He invited us to the World Cup stage in Stuttgart. It was 2015 World Cup stage from Baristi Workout, I think. Yes. And we went to this event and I was just looking because and I didn't know about any athlete. I just know, Korosh is like a very popular athlete from Germany. And at this event, I tried to connect with him. So I was like looking for him, but then he found me and he walked to me before I could even talk to him. And he was like, oh, you Asian guy, you look like you're very skillful and you're very powerful. And I was like, I just started calisthenics. I don't know anything. And then we get into touch and it was a very good time, very nice event. He taught me like the 360 in like one session. And that was like my beginning of calisthenics.
Wow. It's crazy because I also have been on the World Cup stage in Stuttgart. It was on this I don't know, like on this festival. You know, like there was a festival in Stuttgart on this this big place in front of the, I don't know what it was, the church or the...
Yeah, it was just in the middle of the city.
Yeah, and it was like, wow. And so Courage was the one, going towards you and seeing the potential in you and then teaching you like the first move. That's something that I didn't know. I thought, you know each other since 10 years because when...
Yeah, I feel like that. It feels like that, but in the first, like... we just understand each other the first time, and he saw that potential in me and put his time and investment in me, and that's motivated me a lot because there was some like professional guys who supporting me right in the beginning of my journey, and that helped me a lot.
Okay, so your calisthenics journey was beginning in at this next to the skating park, and you tried to do some pull-ups, and you didn't succeed. How did you work out? Like, did you just try stuff, or?
I was happy that there was like this calisthenics group from Baholika. Mm-hmm. He had like weekly training or almost daily training since the park was just built, and I just joined the guys and the. Yeah, it's just a regular, like Monday was push day, Tuesday was a pull day, and going like that. And I just tried like pull-ups. It didn't work. And then I used resistance band, doing pull-ups with resistance bands. And just because I was very like lightweight, I used to weigh, I think 50 kgs or 55 kgs or something like that. So I was very, very skinny. So because of that, if it was easy to do in calisthenics. So that's what I also want to recommend everybody who's maybe watching this and feeling bad in their skin and not very happy about their body shape. And if they're really skinny, calisthenics is the best sport you can do because you're just using your body weight, and the less you have to carry, the easy is going to do the skills and perform a front lever or maybe a freestyle.
That's true. Like all the stuff that it, like not all, but a lot of stuff that is a disadvantage in the real world, let's say, is in the calisthenics world, to be small, to be skinny.
Yeah.
That's like really, really big advantages. And the people who are like small and have problems due to their height in bodybuilding or stuff like that. The interview before was with Jay Chris, who also talked about his struggle. Yeah. To be small, to be to have problems and being bullied because of it.
Yes.
And, then through calisthenics, it was an advantage from one day to another, and that's really nice to see that with calisthenics you can turn disadvantages into advantages.
Exactly.
Something that I ask myself: where does the name La Twist come from? Because I go to an event, it's always La Twist, La Twist, and I say Tan, and you no La Twist.
Yeah, I know what you mean. First of all, Tan is a very hard name to write. Yeah, mm-hmm. So like all my teachers and everybody is just mispronounce it because it's like with two H's between the T and H and stuff like that. So it started with, I think it was in the year 2016 when I get like some basic freestyle moves, and I listened to Travis Scott a lot to that time, and he's like La Flame, you know, and or his nickname is La Flame. And one day, a friend of me, he comment under my post, La Flame. And I was like, okay, that's cool, but I don't like flames. I like twists, you know, like 360s, gingers, and all the crazy moves. So I combined the two names and it turned to La Twist.
Nice.
That also happened when I first landed my my ginger, because in Germany we say twist lip to it.
You say twist and flip.
We say twist flip to it. And also the German community. And the funny thing about it, I unlocked this move on my birthday. So it was just a nice time. So I renamed in La Twist in Instagram, and since that I'm La Twist.
Okay. I think I made a survey on this because it's something that I think is really funny, because you always say twist flip and I was like, I don't know this word, I don't like it. Mm-hmm. For me it's a ginger. Survey and asked people what do they say, and it was like 85% or 90% ginger and 10% twist flip. But I still like it. So some people say ice ball for the front flip regrab. That's also a weird thing for me. But that's calisthenics. Like, I don't know, is twist flip from parkour or something, or is it just
not actually, because we have a very known parkour athlete, Jason Paul, in Frankfurt, and he also said, why are you guys saying twist flip to it? It's ginger. And I was like, no, we call it twist flip. And he's like, there's no twist at all in it. And I'm like, I don't know. I think the first guy who's telling that was Korosh, and he has it from, I think, Roger. Mm-hmm. But it was back in the day, so it was like 2016 or something, and things change. Mm-hmm. And also I think Ginga is the guy in gymnastic who's doing the first ever Ginga, and his name was Ginga. I think gymnastic, it is like when you're doing the move the first time ever, you can name it by your by yourself, and that's why I think this move is coming from gymnastics. So, and in calisthenics, we try to separate a little bit from gymnastics, even like a lot of freestyle moves are the same. But I think twist flip is just like a new name for this move, because it's a little bit different to the gymnastic ways. And that's why I just call it like that.
Okay. So with the gymnastics move to call your name, you have a battle with a professional German gymnast. There is also a professional gymnast called Nguyen in Germany. Do you know him?
Yes. I think his name is Marcel. Yeah, Marcel Nguyen. No, I actually don't know him, but I just know he's a like Olympian gymnastics guy. He's really strong. But Nguyen is like in Germany Müller or Schmidt or something. Like, it's a very, very known name. There was like this this king who just renamed all the people in Vietnam in, I don't know, back in 1,000 years or something. So everybody named Nguyen. So it's a very popular name in Vietnam. Okay.
Nice. Didn't know that. I was thinking, for me, when I think of freestyle in Germany, I have to think of you. Like, for me, you're one of the founding people, like the inspirations. In Germany, we say Aushängeschilder, the signs. If you think of freestyle, I have to think of you. And how did it go? Like, how was the development of the freestyle calisthenics scene in Germany? Because you built a hotspot in Frankfurt with it.
Yeah, that's true. It's actually really interesting to talk about that, because I never think like conscious about that, because it just developed like this, so it was there and like we haven't done anything. But I can say that I think it started with Korosh, because he was like internationally the most well-known and strongest freestyle athlete back in the days, and he reinvented the 360s and Afro Tornadoes and all this stuff. And just because we train at the park at the European Central Bank, it gets kind of to a hotspot, and because this was the only park we just met there. And all the summer long, you see, it's like skating, we're living lifestyle. It's just not like we're having like 1 hour of workouts and then we leave. No, we spend like almost the whole day there and enjoying the sun. And because of that, there was like always a person at the park who's like doing freestyle calisthenics. And so more and more people seeing, okay, there's a crazy movement, or they're like guys, they're doing like superhuman crazy stuff. And that's how it's like kind of grows. And because we train there and getting ready for the German championships and international championships, this was like, it's getting more into the hotspot. And after like, I think 1 or 2 years, We also started to train people there, and we're getting a bigger community because there was already people who doing random calisthenics, but not like only freestyle calisthenics. But the more people like were interested to the sport, the more we just helped, and we taught them how to do a 360. We taught them how to do proper muscle ups, how to gaining strength, and I think because of that, that investment into the people, it's just start like growing. And I think we were also very good inspiration to these guys and helping them grow. And in the end, we just creating our most powerful athletes in Germany. And yeah, I think that was like kind of story behind that.
Okay. You said you didn't do anything to do that, but I think it was like more subconsciously because of exactly. This because you put in the passion and you spent like hours and hours every day at the park, and there was always somebody training there, plus the social media work, I think. Yes. Like it also spreads it, because Frankfurt is quite a big city, so even if stuff is going internationally, there are people from Frankfurt seeing it. And the next thing is your events. Yeah, like it's 2 weeks ago now, or three? No, the Frankfurt City Cup took place.
Yes, it was in the end of September.
Yeah, so like 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago. So it's like you're putting in a lot of work with Flythenics, with you as a coach as well. To push this sport, and that's what I think is really important. Because if you don't have the passion yourself, if you just want to make a living or like, I don't know, something else, you won't put that much work in it. And
Yeah, true. I have to say that it may also like, because we grow that much also on social media, it was just like we working as a team. Yeah, we were like Dion Korsh, me in the beginning, and we just hyped each other so hard. Like when we did something, we just did it. We all did it, us three. So we just trained together, filming all the trainings together, and then releasing all the posts at the same time. And then it gets like a triple hype. We just call it triple hype. So, and that's, I think, the main thing. It's not just about social media, but also in the trainings or in everything. When you have like a team or guys who like got your back and supporting you, it's way easier than do it all alone. So like I'm very thankful that I had it, and I know that a lot of athletes in the world don't have this kind of support or mental support or professional support. They can get it through coaches and everything, but sometimes they're like really expensive. So I'm very thankful that I had like a kind of team who like pushed me, especially in the beginning of my journey, and that helped me grow a lot. So that's why it's like my kind of mission with Flythenics, to build this freestyle community, to give it back to the guys who want to start freestyle calisthenics. They want to build up more more skills and build a nice following on Instagram or something. We help them a lot by just giving them the chance to present their skills on an event or on shows. We also had like, I think in 2018, that was the beginning of Flythenics, and we had like I think more than 20 shows like through the year, and a ton of workshops, and just yeah, it was a nice time. And we just try to give the people back, especially I try to give back what I get from this sport and to inspire the people.
That's nice. Do you remember how much you grew in the last year on social media? Like right now, how many followers do you have?
I'm almost to 38,000 followers. Mm-hmm. So actually, to be honest, I'm not very like focusing on how much I grow on Instagram, because mm-hmm. in the beginning it was like, yeah, I need to get that 10K, I need to get more follows, I need to get more views and stuff like that. But then I realized at some time it was not about just growing on social media. Yeah, of course you can make a living out that and having nice corporations and influence people and stuff like that, but it was like more just showing the world what I really passionate about and what I love doing, and just be like authentic. And just because of that, and of course I put like a lot of quality stuff on Instagram, getting a new equipment. I spend thousands of euros just to get like a new laptop, a new camera and stuff like that, to get to stack up the quality. But in the end I realized you don't need that. So all you need is just like a phone and putting out the content, what you really love. And that helps me like growing. And it was like a more subconscious thing with Instagram. Like everything I've done on Instagram was like, it's just happened because I did what I just wanted to do. Yeah. And sometimes it's changed from week to week, but all in all, just putting out the content, what I really love doing. I love to show the world my skills, my flows, and yeah, what I'm doing with calisthenics, and also sharing the guys my trips and what you also can like experience from calisthenics.
Okay. And that's something that I hear a lot, that people, like everybody who is not an influencer or like wants to become one, says, oh, like it's all about the followers, etc. Mm-hmm. And the people who have the followers, they say, first of all, like often they say, first of all, I just started to document everything for me myself.
Yes.
For me as a diary or something. Mm-hmm. And then it grew and people liked it. And
that's true.
I don't care about the followers. It's nice because of the collaborations, the influence, stuff like that.
But you're true. That's absolutely what I can underline, because in the beginning, especially, I just I use it as a video diary. And that's what I also can recommend everybody, because the people, they love to see how you grow. And especially the guys who like know you're getting in touch personally, like your coworkers or your guys where you're in school with or university, they all know you, but they don't know what you're actually doing with your sport. And just showing how you're growing helps me a lot, because like I just use it as a diary as well. When you scroll down, you can see me doing like sloppy muscle ups and I don't know, fucked up 360s where I busted my shoulders and stuff like that. So I think that's helped to see how you're growing, and it makes a lot of fun to look into the progression, especially to the history and to the stories of what the people can tell.
That's true. And in calisthenics, it's a big secret, especially if you train alone, to just film yourself and watch yourself, watch the technique, etc. And if you can just then post it on Instagram, it's like a win-win situation.
Yes.
So it's really, really nice. And everybody who once reached 10,000K to be able to do a swipe up link, after that it becomes like, at least it was for us, like 10K was important because we wanted to do the swipe ups. But from there it was like, okay, 11K 11K 12K, etc.
Mm-hmm.
It's like not important.
Yes I mean, if you have like specific goals, like, yeah, I want to be that top influencer like Daniels or something with a huge following and putting out crazy content and stuff like that, then you should have to put in the work and try to grow and use it like, and have a focused goal. But in the end, like you said, my goal was to reach that 10K, and it was like so hard to get it. But once I get it was like everything just, it was easier to, I think from 10k to almost 40k now, it was like not that a lot of work, you know, like the beginning. But you should appreciate what you have, and the more work you put into Instagram and social media, the more you will get, because you see nowadays the algorithm has changed. It's almost impossible to grow nowadays. And I always hearing from like also from local athletes here, how can I get a bigger following? I want to cooperate with, I want a cooperation with God Nation. I also want to get a sponsored athlete. I want to travel the world, and I want to get money from calisthenics, and how can I grow on Instagram? It's always the same questions, but actually you don't grow from today to tomorrow. It's like a long journey, and you have to put a lot of work into it. And the more you're like active on Instagram, it's like you can it's impossible to want like 10Ks when you just post once in a month, you know? So you have to be active and consistent. And that's, I think, the key.
Yeah. And something that you use as well, maybe a short hint for the people to try Reels, because it's like right now really pushed by Instagram. So whenever you have like some story clips, story format clips, like 15 seconds stuff that is entertaining, you can just put it on Reels and it works really well because you have some Reels, million views videos, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. I think I was one of the first guys who starting the Reels. Yeah. And I get on my first Reel like 80K. No, it was 800K, almost a million views. And it was like me doing a simple 360, but it's just like more for the regular people to watch and not just like calisthenics athletes. So I just do like very simple things and it's not a lot of work for me and the people like it. So I just keep doing that. And once I get like a Reel with 3 million views, and that boosts my Instagram a lot. And Instagram featured like all these crazy videos, and I was like, okay, normally you have to pay Instagram that they're going to feature you or something like that, but now they do it like because it was good content. And back in days, I remember Instagram was like 50 seconds videos only, so if you have a crazy combo, you have to keep it short, so only big moves. You saw you already know that. And I think in Reels you have the good potential to inspire the people with like small videos, because our a time of attention what we give into social media is like so short nowadays. So I think it's a really good thing with the 15 seconds. I think they expanded already to 30 seconds, so you can change it also to 30 seconds. But the shorter it is and the more entertaining it is, the more followers and the more people are going to come. And I think that's the key to grow nowadays. And the good thing is, if you love to have a clean feed or something, you just can delete it like after 1 or 2 days out of your feed, and it's still in your Reels. You're still getting the impressions. So I really recommend it to everybody doing calisthenics and really want to grow. Just entertain the people, showing what you can do, and it's very simple.
That's true. Like for me, my social media advice to somebody who wants to grow, just maybe to round it up, or you have something that you don't agree on, to post really nice photos in the feed, because Instagram works really well for photos. Your best videos, you make small clips for Reels, because Instagram pushes these as well. And if you have really nice content, like long content, video content, you do YouTube, because YouTube is an evergreen. It's always there. You will still get views in 3 years. And that's a good strategy, but you need patience. It won't go from today to tomorrow.
Yeah, I would say that actually Instagram does what it wants to, because for some guys, like only pictures are working. For some guys, like videos are like crazy. It's like for me, when I post a picture, like my last picture get like not even 1,000 likes. I mean, I don't care, but it's crazy how it depends on like 3 million views and I don't know how many thousand likes, and with one picture just 1,000. So for me, it's just like videos. When I'm posting videos, especially Reels, they like going crazy. So it depending on how you get like into the algorithm on Instagram.
Yeah, but you also had a really nice video, like the ones doing one-arm pull-ups with 95k views. That's also like it went really well in as a normal video. So you can never say videos don't work at all.
Yes, it's that's always true. That's as true. You say. What I'm very curious about, and what I really realized, because it's not it's like every time I'm doing this kind of combo, because I think I've done this combo like already 2 years ago. I did it like one time in LA when I first went to California with my friends, and we did it at Venice Beach. I did this combo and it get also like back in days I had like 15,000 followers or something, and I also get like almost 50k views or something. That was quite a lot. And then I did it again in Switzerland when I was at the Bar Dogs battles, and it also went like almost 100k, and now again. So I think the people really like that kind of one-arm pull-up, L-sit pull stuff. So maybe it's that. So when you realize that the people like something you're doing, then you just might have to do it more often.
Yeah, that's true. For us, for example, it's just the ESID, like everybody doing an ESID. It always works crazy. Like Mana and ESID, these are two moves that work extremely well. And if you find out something like this, you can do more of it. And that's a good thing.
Yeah. Because what I also realized is it's very like unthankful. Instagram is so unthankful, you know. So there are like athletes who are doing 720s. I think this guy Kubilos, he's doing like 720 to 900 and everything, and he is like a couple of thousand followers or even 1,000 followers, and it's like very it's very unthankful. So these guys deserve a lot of more followers, but in the end, normal people, they don't understand what they don't even know what a 360 is. So when they see like something like a one-arm pull-up or some guys doing manas or the girls doing ISITs, it's like, okay, maybe I can see myself in this kind of movement. So it's getting more impressions because it's easier to understand what's actually happened there.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and also like working with slow motions, etc., also makes it easier for normal people to understand. But yeah, that's a totally different topic. Let's go away from the social media topic. It's so interesting. Yeah. We could talk.
That's true.
You already talked about your inspiration to start with a street workout, but people are always interested in the planche. And I know that it's also a move that you work on a lot, that you're currently working on the full planche, which is looking already quite solid. But talk about your planche journey. How did it go? Did it go really linear, or like were there some challenges? How did it go?
That's a very good question. My planche journey was challenging, very challenging. I think I'm already like training 3 years or something for the planche. And in the first year, I had like zero progressions because I haven't done, like, I get a lot of tips from YouTube and from other athletes. But in the end, in my workouts, I just did my old workouts. So I haven't converted the tips into like real workouts. And so the first year, I just like, haven't progressed anything. I had like in Germany we say Dachdecker, so like a rooftop planche, because like your ass is like very up and your legs are very low. And I think since I get more in touch into like professional athlete like Viktor Kamenov and like very crazy strong planche athlete, and I get the advice from them, it was a little bit different for me to reinvent my workouts. So I gained a lot of more strength, and I just realized it's just basic. You don't have to do like crazy ecstatic planche secret skills and movement, just do leans and do proper basics, and that helped me a lot. So since I get like more consistent in my planche, it felt like way more easy to progress. So it's like, it's good to getting a coach or getting some helps and tips from professional athletes or watching YouTube videos. But in the end, you just have to be consistent with basic exercise. Even when you can do like the full planche or stuff like that, you still have to do your basic strength exercise to improve your fundament, because you're holding everybody on your arm. So you should have to build up that fundamental strength first, and then going to advanced movements. And it takes discipline and consistency. That's why my journey was like, whoop. And now it's getting like constantly better.
Nice. Do you say that you are able to do the full planche? Like, is it something that you say that you unlocked it, or like, when is it that you are 100% sure that you can do it always?
It's very, very interesting, because I've already unlocked it last year. Mm. And then I injured myself because I was like, stopped doing the basic and just going for full planche in every training and didn't have a proper warm up. So, but for now, I would say that I'm almost unlocked. I can't say that I unlock it, because for me, it's like when you can hold it for like I don't know, 10 seconds with ease and still like able to talk, like I can have an interview with you while I'm holding the full planche. And I would say I've unlocked it. You know, I could do that in front even very easy. But in planche, it's like still some struggles. I can perform it for 3-4 seconds, but it still takes like too much energy to say that I'm fully unlocked it.
Okay, so you have a really high standard to say that you unlocked something. That's
Yes, I'm kind of like I really love to do the move perfectly until I say that I'm fully able to do it, because like when you like able to improve like planche progressions, like planche variations, like press or hands, press negatives or different planche variations, then you can say you fully master the planche or unlock it, because you're able to combine it or use different variations with that.
Okay, get it. Let's switch to dynamics. Mm-hmm. A question that we get quite often from the community if we interview a freestyle athlete is, how do I fight the fear freestyling or like doing dynamics? And I give this question to you. How do you fight the fear when doing let's start with the 360, but also like the front flip regrab you're mm-hmm. you're currently also unlocking
Fear is, I think, the most important question. So it's actually very simple. When you're able to turn off your thoughts, then the fear might disappear. But before every like competition or something, I get also nervous and the fear is always there. But you have to categorize and maybe like visualize that when it's like, for example, you know that you can do this move. Yeah. You train it so often and you know there's a possibility that you can fail. And maybe you have like some very hard fails. Like for me, I broke my ribs and get like serious injuries from freestyle. But I know that this can happen again. But it's like no sense, there's no point to think about that kind of scenario, what happened in the past. You're just focusing on that you're able to do this skill. Of course, with that big respect that something can happen. But when you truly trust in your skills and just focusing on being in the moment, then actually nothing can happen. Because that's why I'm always saying, just go with the flow. Don't force yourself to do like 360s. When there's some days where you like don't feel your freestyle skills, then just don't freestyle, just train statics. But there's some days you need some like kind of warm-up combos, I call them, and then just doing like easy freestyle skills, and then your body getting comfortable for that. And once you like learning the way how your body reacts, you can, or just like when you want to beat your fear and try to learn new moves, just try it on mats, for example, or using a place where you have like a good setup where you can train proper. So the risk is like very low, and the more you can lower the risk, the better you get into freestyle. And the thing by avoiding fear is just to visualize that you can do this move, and to have the courage and just do it. I know it sounds like very simple to say just do it, but when you're able to turn off your thoughts, then you can do it. And you can do it with breath exercise, you can do it with affirmations, and that's how I beat my fear, for example.
Okay. Affirmations, for the people who don't know what it is, self-affirmations. Can you explain mm-hmm. it?
Self-affirmations. It's like just manipulate your body or your mind. It's like you're not tricking your mind, but you're telling yourself something beautiful, or you're telling yourself like you're confident and you can do this. You're going to grab this move now. Yeah. And then because you're forcing your mind into this, it's like when I'm telling you, don't think, don't imagine a pink elephant in your head. And then you automatically see this pink elephant because I gave this thought in your head. And when you say like, I'm going to grab this move, then you're going to grab this move. Yeah. Because you give your body the right direction. And when you're telling yourself, before you run to the bars and you have like already the combo in your head, you just try to have the first ring. For example, when I do the front flip and I am like, oh, fuck. When I'm not going to grab it like this, I'm going to fail. And then I'm going to fail because I had like this little thought, this little negative thought, and it just can kill your combos. And that's why it's important to be like 100% focused on that you're going to grab it. Of course, you have to train for that to be able to do it like fluently. But in the end, with this kind of self-affirmations, you can manipulate your mind so hard that you're able to do like crazy thing you never thought you can do.
Okay. That's a really good tool, and it's simple, and mm-hmm. everybody can just try it to just tell themselves stuff that makes them feel comfortable, that makes them mm-hmm. Feel self-conscious.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good. But you don't only do self-affirmations, but also like your surrounding. When I watch your videos from the gym where you all train together or even outdoors, mm-hmm. you are a group of really like supportive, energetic people who scream, etc. What role does your surrounding, your friends around you play in your workouts?
Actually it's depending. When like I also have like workouts where I just train alone and try to hype myself up, but it's, I think every professional athlete can agree with that. It's like when you're surrounded with like very good freestyle athletes and they're putting their energy into the rooms, like when you're screaming you put up energy in your, like I feel it in my skin when somebody's screaming like you can do it and just go for it full send, and it's a little bit different than just to train by yourself. That's why it's like my kind of mission to grow the sport so that every kind of people or every kind of place have like a little community who support themselves. And it's the same like in football and other sports, the more you cheer, the better the guy's playing, you know? Yeah. And that's an important role because in Frankfurt, we're always having like hype sessions. You know, we have this one guy, Mr. Candyman. He's known for his hype trains. We call it hype trains because like everybody who wants to jump on the hype train, you can go it now because now the hype is like very high. And you, when you're at the place, you feel the energy level. Like before you're touching the bars and everybody's screaming, you're going to perform on your highest level. And that's why I really appreciate a lot. And that's why it's important to all athletes, even they're like very weak or something, we just hype them up that they can get that first muscle up or that they can get this new dynamics in what they just learned. And it's also, I think, a kind of appreciation thing when you just achieve something what's very extraordinary that you deserve that kind of hype. And you see it on calisthenics event. When I remember in New York, it was in this year at the call-up competition when Tony did the 720. It was like, oh my God, the whole gym was just exploding and there was so much energy there. And yeah, the more energy you generate, especially with your crew, the more the athlete's going to perform, yeah, very clean. And maybe he's doing like some very high level advanced power moves. And this kind of hype energy helps a lot. It's like kind of Dragon Ball Z that energy transferring shit, but it's it really working.
Yeah, that's true. And I think even as a viewer of the video, mm-hmm. you feel like hyped, and that's really nice.
You realize that also in my videos. I also like sometimes I just, when you hear the people screaming and they're hyping it up, I don't want to play music out because there are like so many emotions in this kind of sounds and audience that the people need to feel that as well. And yeah, it's good when people, when they're seeing that, also get like excited, and when you're creating feelings in the viewer and everybody who's there.
Yeah, that's true. What was the hardest move you've learned so far? That's something that I would be interested in.
That I'm just learning right now, just what
that I already unlocked. That you already unlocked.
The hardest move in statics or dynamics?
If you can compare the both, I would say like overall, but it's hard to say. But overall, what is the hardest move?
The hardest move, I would say front regrab, but actually it's not that hard. It's just more beating the wrist, because when you have balls and you're not afraid, you're going to do it. But I remember that I land like, I think 100 times on my belly. And that was like a kind of hard progress. But the hardest move, I think it's like the giant to front flip regrab, because you have to check how much energy you have to put into the swing that you're going to transfer the flip into the right direction. Because if you have too much energy, you're going to land on the bar. If you have too less energy, or you're too afraid, you're going to be way far away from the bar. So I think it's the giant front flip regrab. But for me, like, the hardest move to unlock was actually the full planche in statics. So it took like more time, discipline, dedication, and consistency to get this move, because my body is not made for planche. I realized that I have my body composition is like not made for planche, but I'm still able to do it. That's why I think that was the move what I like put the most time and work into it.
Okay, so it also, the genetics play a role, you say?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
I think they play a bigger role than a lot of people think. We discussed it in the beginning of the interview with that. When you have more weight or not, you have like, it's very it's more easy to pull and stuff like that. It should not be an excuse, because they're like very crazy heavyweight athletes, like Vitaly Fechnuk. I think he's also doing like planches and everything with ease. It's a very heavyweight. But what we're talking about right now is like the body composition, and the body composition is like, in other sports, a very big deal, especially in planche. And you can see like short people, they planche like, I don't know, like it's nothing. And they're like, some people it's like almost impossible to learn it. And I was questioning myself all the time. And also we had like after especially Frankfurt City Cup and other events where like short athletes are doing like crazy static strength, and there were all this discussion, oh yeah, it's kind of unfair because I'm weighting more or I'm much higher, and how you can judge that and stuff like that. And I think WCO already did a good job with their weight category, because like in MMA or in other in boxing, for example, there's also like weight categories. But I just heard from Dion, because he's like also, he has a black belt in Taekwondo. Mm-hmm. And he said that there's also like a kind of measuring of how long your arm is, for example. So mm-hmm. when you, even you're like heavyweight, you can have like very short arms, then you get into like the weight class below, because you have a kind of disadvantage, because you can't hit your opponent with the full range. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a kind of similar things into calisthenics, depending especially what kind of moves do you want to learn. So I think people with like long backs like me, or short arms or something, have quite a hard time to like lean into the planche, because you need a totally different angle to have like a very clean high planche. And but it's still not an excuse. You can do it. It just might be harder. and takes more discipline and more time.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. Because I remember the conversations and the discussions after the event. But yeah, it's hard to execute on it right now. I didn't know that WCO already does it. That's a good sign that the sport develops into the right direction. But how do you see the sport development right now? Like, where do you see the sport developing in the last years?
To be honest, since I started 2015 to, I think, 2016, there were like a huge growth in freestyle calisthenics in Germany, also because of Baristi workout with Dennis Fatana. He did like an amazing job in the past with his King of the Bars. They're like getting, there are like so many crazy athletes coming together, and you see the YouTube views, they have like millions of clicks, and the sport was just like on a very nice peak. And after that, it just like stopped for a little bit, and maybe it just went down here in Germany. I just can tell it in Germany, because in the world, the sports just grow. It's just slowly but steady. But especially from the year 2017 to like 90 maybe, or even till now, the sports just stops growing a bit, in my opinion, especially freestyle sports. Like in Germany, we have so many weighted and strength power athletes, but freestyle is a little bit like still small. And I was wondering why it was like that. And I realized it's like because there are no community meetups, there are like no calisthenics battles, especially like just normal tournaments where freestyle athletes can battle each other. There was just one German championship event for, I think, German athletes a year, and it's like very poor for like a country like Germany to just have one freestyle event, like one big freestyle event for local athletes. And it was like in a place where it's like not very good connected. So it was like in Dessau. I mean, you've been to the German trips the last years. And I mean, the guys from Ghetto Workout, Stefan, the organizer, he's a very nice person. So that's why we talked to them at FIBO 2019 last year, that we want to bring German championship to Frankfurt, because it's like a big city and it's very well connected to whole Germany. And it works really good. And with our Flythenics event, we had like new bell system with the World of Warriors format, where we like give the people the chance to compete. And I think the more events are like going to happen, the more the sports is also going to grow, because it's just in the end all by the community. Everybody can train by themselves, but it's not that much fun when you're coming together and can have that feeling how it is to train with the best athlete or to battle with them. So I see like since 2019 a little growth, especially with your meetups, what you have with your events. And there are some local guys having like small meetups, but not all meetups are like just freestyle focused, you know. And with freestyle, I don't mean like only dynamics. Freestyle is also like statics and strength elements, but there are way too less people here in Germany who do this. And that's our job, especially for brands like Onation or big names in calisthenics like Korsch or me or Alex or somebody in Germany, to like use this kind of influence power to bring the people together and bring more athletes in. I think we did it pretty good with Flythenics here in Frankfurt. So you see there are like a lot of German athletes who like in this kind of area doing freestyle calisthenics, maybe more than in other parts in Germany. And I think also with the Deutschen Calisthenics Verbund, we have this kind of organization where we can make something like this official and have more events. So we're planning some nice things for the future, especially for next year when COVID is all over, and then we're going to have like a new revolution of calisthenics, and I'm very happy to be part of that. And yes,
and I think you like do an amazing job, and you are the person or the group of people to do that, because you have the experience in the sport, you have the connections, you know, the freestyle athletes, because it's not the same. Like for us, it's really easy to do like a sets and reps competition, a weighted competition, etc., because like in Germany, weighted and sets and reps is much bigger, and we do it ourselves. Yes. We have the experience. But like for the freestyle, it's hard for somebody who is not freestyling to organize it. So it's really good to for you to get in connection with the German association, with the Calisthenics Verband, with Stefan from Ghetto Workout, etc. So yeah, good luck for that, and you know that you have our support.
Definitely,
it's really important.
I really thank you also to be part of that Flytanics event, and always supporting us, and that means us a lot. And I think together we can, do something great, because it's easier when a lot of people, like influential people, can do together things than everybody's just working on their own, having their own goals. Because in the end, we all want to make the sports grow, and so we all have to connect together, communicate together, and that's the main thing.
That's true. And the scene and the people are so hungry. They are so hungry, thirsty, whatever. They want events. They are like the people from Frankfurt, from Kali X. They like drive around Germany. They go to every event, etc. So the people are really hyped for it. It's just that we need somebody who takes charge of it, who is responsible for it, who goes all in. And that's, what I really respect.
Yeah, it's very hard, because not especially in Germany. I know that a lot of countries also suffer from this problem, that they are like, they very passionate about freestyle calisthenics, but they don't know how to build a community or get the people together. And it's just like, it's very simple to have, like you said, your trainings, but in the end, it's more important what you're doing after your training, like also caring about your nutrition and stuff like that, but how to build up like a community and how to make a step into the right direction with building up team or doing more like events, how you spread the word of freestyle calisthenics, explaining to the people what freestyle calisthenics is, because for us, it's like normal. Everybody knows the sports in this kind of small family, because we're all connected with Instagram and stuff like that. But for the outsiders, for people who don't know what freestyle calisthenics is, they just see what we doing, this kind of crazy moves, but they don't know how to start with that, how to what this actually is. And we need to do more I don't have the English word, it's just Aufklärungsarbeit in German. Maybe you have that word.
Yeah, just spreading the word, like spreading the word calisthenics.
Yes,
that's true. Okay, nice. I think, we covered a lot of topics. We're like over an hour already.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We still have some quick questions, quick answers to end the episode. Pizza or burger?
Pizza or burger?
It's always such a random
bro. Burger.
Burger, okay. Are you a dog or a cat person?
Dog person. My sign, astro sign, is also dog in the Chinese calendar.
Nice. That's good. That's a good sign.
So I was born in the year of the dog.
Okay. What is your favorite location for holidays?
Favorite location? I think my best trip I have ever had was in California.
What would change for you if social media just disappeared overnight?
That's a good question. I think not a lot. It would be way harder to connect with the athletes worldwide, but then I need to stick to the local athletes and maybe writing letters or something to connect with the people, but I would still working out in my gym or outside and still making the sports grow and having more local events. Maybe it's better for the environment as well when people stop flying around the country because we're so globalized. Yeah. But it would be definitely hard. It would be definitely hard and challenging.
And if you transfer the number of DMs sent on Instagram to handwritten letters, I think that won't be good for the environment. So I think maybe we can stick like this.
That's true.
Stay with social media. Do you have a favorite calisthenics athlete? Or like a top three or something?
Yeah, I had a top three maybe. I haven't thought about that, but so spontaneously, I would say in freestyle calisthenics, it's definitely Anouri from Morocco. Mm-hmm. He's like a very young, talented guy, and we also try to bring him here to Germany, but it's very hard to get these Moroccan athletes to our events. But he's like very complete in dynamics. He get like almost all power moves. And as like very complete athlete, I would say it's Thomas Koganov. Mm-hmm. I know him for a long time and he progressed so good. And I think he's like maybe the new Daniels because Daniels was in the past like my big inspiration. Now he's like getting better again and getting more active. So I think these are the three athletes who like inspiring me the most. And in the past, it was like Korosh. He's not that much active anymore, but he was like also a huge, huge inspiration to me.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Do you have a favorite book that you would recommend?
Yes, I have many books and I've read a lot of books. But when I have one book, what I can give it to you is like how you going to upgrade your performance. It's the High Performance Habits from Brandon Bouchard. Uh-huh. The HP6, it's like, seeking clarity, for example, generate energy, raise necessity, increase productivity, develop influence, and demonstrate courage. I think it's like the most six powerful hacks what you can learn for yourself, because we humans, we act with habits, and the more you can change your bad habits and turn it into good habits, the better you can perform. It's like it doesn't matter if you go into the meeting or if you're going to your workouts, if you have like business ideas or if you just want to get a better person, there are like some habits you can change. And these kind of habits, what you get learned in the book, help you a lot or help me a lot. And I always recommend everybody to master these skills. And that helped me a lot.
Yeah. Good. We'll put the link and stuff like that in the description for people who are interested. The best calisthenics event you've ever been at?
Best calisthenics event. There were so many crazy events, but I would say it was World of Bar Heroes 2019 at FIBO. Especially the final where Ikvan battled against Daniels. That stage was huge and it was an honor for me to judge that event. And I think that was like the most crazy event so far.
True. I will never forget. I think the moment that Ikvan landed the front flip re-grab and everybody just escalated.
In the last seconds, like in the last round after battling like six other athletes and he's still like performing on his highest level. So Ikvan was like really amazing.
That's true. Okay. And then the last question, dynamics or statics? What would you choose if you have to decide?
Dynamics.
Okay. Good. Already guessed that, but wanted to make sure if you want to lose the full planche or the front flip re-grab if you have to decide.
Yeah, it's like, I think it's a cool, fun question, but in the end, I'm the guy who's like agreeing with a lot of professional athletes. It's completeness over everything. You need to be complete to to get a strong athlete and to win competition. I mean, there are some like only statics competitions and only freestyle competitions and stuff like that. But in the end, if you're complete, if you're able to do like crazy dynamics combining with very strength, power strength moves like Festos and Maltese presses and have like crazy holds, then nobody can stop you. Because there are always athletes who has like weaknesses. And when you're complete, nobody can touch you. And maybe that's one of the benefits I had in the beginning of my workouts. I always tried to be complete. And I'm not like really good in dynamics. I'm not really good in statics. But I'm like an overall beast. Like I can do everything. Yeah. And that's what it should be like the most focus on.
Okay, cool. Nice. Then let's finish off. How can people get in touch with you if you want? They want to talk to you, I don't know, learn from you. How do they reach you?
Actually, they just can text me a DM on Instagram. It's very simple. I try to use every second day the message, even if it's hard, but I really like help everybody. So and I'm also offering coaching. So when somebody is like really into calisthenics and really want to learn the skills and know that I'm able to teach them, so they can get into my coaching as well. And they just contact me on Instagram.
Okay, perfect. We will put everything in the description. You also have a website. Oh, we can link the website. I like the website. That's good. So we will put...
You mean the Ukio Talents website, or which kind of website do you mean?
You once posted a website that about yourself, and I looked at it and I liked it. So,
with the iced coffee. Yeah, it's an article what my girlfriend writes about me. So also really big supporter. So shout out to my girlfriend. He's doing like all the crazy work behind of that. So you can link that. It's really fun to read and to watch.
Nice. Perfect. So we're coming to an end. And before you can end the episode, I will want to say thank you to everyone listening to this till the end, because it's a long episode. It's I appreciate everyone listening to this like for an hour and 20 minutes. Hope you were able to take some stuff with you, that you profited from it and enjoyed it. And don't forget to rate the episode. If you liked it, give us a thumbs up, give us a subscription, whatever you want to do to support this channel. And also, if you want to have an athlete who has to be interviewed, put him in the description. And apart from that, Tan, thanks for taking the time on this Tuesday morning to do the interview. Thanks a lot for that. And you can end the episode. Yes.
Oh, yeah. And I have to thank you as well, Phil and Ganesh, for letting me having this nice interview. I hope the people can learn from that. And I have one question for everybody who's still watching this kind of 90 minutes interview. Respect for that. But the question is, are you living the dream, or is the dream living you?